Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. This is the first of our monthly City Press Absa Money Makeover podcast, where we're going to be chatting to the advisors and contestants about the money journey over the next 6 months. You can also follow their journey in City Press, You Magazine, and on Facebook at CP Money Makeover, where you'll be provided with additional tools and tips to implement your own DIY money makeover. So to provide some background to Money Makeover, this is a competition that I've run with City Press for the last 4 years. And for the last 3 years, Absa has been our main partner. So we take six people through a money boot camp over a six-month period. We set them up with an experienced Absa financial advisor, and together they work out a plan on what goals they need to achieve over that period. This year, we have a very diverse range of contestants. So we have Meshack, who's trapped in debt. We have newlywed Nono, who wants to start her married life on a sound financial footing. Colin has built up a significant property portfolio, but he needs help managing it. We've got Catherine, who needs help getting her husband on the same page as her financially. And construction entrepreneur Bella, who needs help managing her small business. And finally, Peter, who is struggling to adjust to a life without that big corporate salary. So there is definitely something for everybody in this year's Money Makeover.
Yes, Maya, I absolutely, absolutely love this competition. I just love how diverse it is. And I might add, there are quite a few characters I see in myself in some of the contestants. So I'm really excited about it. Why do you think the competition is important, Maya?
You know, Mapla, I've been doing this now, as I said, this is our fourth year, and it blows me away how every single time we take these people through a journey and they cannot believe how quickly their finances turn around. And I think it's testament to the fact that if you take your head out the sand and you deal with it and you actually start taking action, things change. And I think that for me is watching the journey of the participants. I think for me, it's actually the highlight of my year every year. And I hope we can keep doing it.
I'm really excited about it.
So to kick off our first podcast, I've asked Absa financial advisor Stephen Williamson to join us today. So Stephen's a very important person, Mapalo, because he was an advisor on last year's Money Makeover, and his candidate actually won the competition last year. You'll remember Samke, Mapalo. We actually interviewed her here on this podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
And she's an amazing person. I think I really want to encourage everyone to go back. We're going to put the link to that podcast. Remember, I think it was about 6 months ago.
Yes, when we did the podcast with her. So we'll definitely leave the link to the podcast we did with her, which was quite amazing. So I'm happy that Stephen has joined us today. And do you think, Stephen, this year, your candidate will win Money Makeover?
So I must make a point here. Yeah, so Stephen's candidate this year is Nono. So he was advisor to Samke, and now he is advisor to Nono. And yes, Stephen, is she going to win this year, Nono?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think she's a really good candidate.
She really is. And we're going to hear a little bit from her later on in this podcast. But Stephen, I wanted to ask you, you know, having experience, I mean, I've gone through this is my fourth year, and you know, you've heard a little bit how I feel about the competition. But for you as an advisor, you know, having been done it last year and again, already being on again this year, what have you taken away from the process? Like, what lessons have you learned?
Yeah, thanks, Maya. Thanks again for the opportunity of being in this challenge again, and yeah, to make a difference. I mean, it is very rewarding. I found last year's competition highly rewarding. I think, I mean, there's a number of things. One of the things is patience. I think that, you know, we live in a world of instant gratification. So I find that young people who sit across from me sort of are used to instant gratification. So what they're looking for often is a miracle worker. And that's not what we are. We, you know, this is something that takes time. It takes a lot of patience. So I learned patience. I mean, there was massive expectation in terms of when we start. So I think it was a combination of patience, but also managing expectations in Samke's case in terms of what it was that we could do, and the fact that most of it was up to the candidate, the person that was going through this whole process. So listen, there's so much that you can achieve, but the one big thing for me is attitude. If the person has the attitude and wants to change the habits that they have, it's a huge benefit.
I mean, I think that is critical. It is absolutely attitude. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and one of the other things also, and I've come across this over time, is just the importance of the responsibility of what the banks do in terms of guiding people. You know, I think our responsibility is in terms of ensuring that people don't dig themselves deeper and deeper into debt. And, you know, yeah, it's always come to my attention in terms of how important what we do is, and how when we don't do what people expect of us, you know, how we can put them in a far worse of situation. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of responsibility in terms of what I do, but in terms of the bank as an institution.
I mean, I think Samke commented on that, didn't she, Mapalo? She commented about how easy it was to get credit.
Yes, yes, she did. And she kept on just taking on more credit and more credit without realizing. But for me, Maya, what I love about what Stephen has said is patience. I think so many of us, we just lack patience.
So Stephen, let's going back to Samke and when you first met with her, or quite frankly, when you meet anybody who's in debt and, let's be honest, spending more than they earn, what is the first steps that you take? What are the kind of first discussions you have with them?
I think Maya, it's facing the debt. I think a lot of people that I meet, and the majority of people, are in denial. So for instance, you'll ask them questions like, do you look at your statements on a monthly basis? And the answer is no. You know, so they avoid doing those kind of things because they want to deny that they are in fact debt. So it's just important that they face up to the fact that they have debt, and that if they wanted to save, it's going to be largely counterproductive because of how expensive debt is. You know, if you're starting your savings, most people are earning 3% because it's all tiered, so it's built for people who have more capital. So somebody who's starting out is only going to be getting 3%, but yet they're paying 12 or 15% on debt. So for me,
if they're lucky, Steve,
yeah,
if they're lucky, paying 12%.
If you're working through some, you know, not through institutions, you know, then it gets ridiculous. But because that's what I have found with loan sharks and that sort of thing, because there's some horrible stuff that's going on and people that are really scared in terms of getting into debt. But for me, with Samke, it was facing up to the fact that, hey, you are in debt. And you need to acknowledge it. And by the end of it, you know, she got excited about the fact that she would go through statements and feel like she was making progress. So and then once you do that in terms of budgeting, so in terms of, listen, knowing what you're spending your money on. In Samke's case, one of the ways of denial was, you know, drawing from an ATM. So you're going to spend 500 Rand or 1,000 Rand, but you can't account for it. So that was one of the things. So she had to know exactly what or categorize all of her spending. And then I always described it in terms of, you know, think of water in a bucket. It's either water going in terms of income, water going out. And if you have debt, the leaks that you're going to have are going to get bigger because, you know, with interest and that sort of thing. So, you know, in compounding of debt, where people use one debt instrument to pay off another. So that was critical in terms of making progress. Just being conscious of everything you spend. So every time you go and you spend money, just, you know, be conscious in terms of, is it a want or is it a need? So it was just in terms of prioritizing that.
So you sort of sat down, made them deal with the debt situation. Because I know even with Nono, she said, you know, she just didn't realize how much debt she had. And I find often people look at it and they see, oh, that's how much I'm repaying every month, but they never look at the actual total amount. So I suppose it's A, acknowledging the total debt.
Absolutely.
Secondly, it's acknowledging the spending. So a lot of acknowledging going on here, Stephen.
Yeah.
and then how do you put together a plan for them to get out of that debt? You know, now you've got the spending, you understand where the money could come from, you understand the consequences. How did you get Samke on that path?
Well, initially I used sort of just an Excel spreadsheet in terms of where she could categorize all her different types of spending. But obviously now with 22/7 and you know, other apps like that, it really helps you to categorize, so you know where there are things that are, you know, luxuries, things that you shouldn't be spending on. Because in order to get out of debt, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. If you're not willing to make sacrifices, then you're not going to dig yourself out of that. So yeah, that was the main thing in terms of that. And I found, you know, a lot of people are quite competitive and they like to, feel like, sure, you know, but just to consolidate all your debt and see it visually, I think has a big impact on people and spurns them into action.
All right, Steve. So how do you create a debt repayment plan for your candidate? You know, something that is tangible, because I think a lot of the times you see that big number that you just explained and it is shocking. And someone either say, you know what, I'm up for the challenge, I will do everything you tell me to do, or someone wants to go and hide. How do you actually take the candidate to say, you know what, you can actually do this?
Well, listen, yeah, the first thing is where I can assist, because I often refer that type of business to the bankers within the branch, because they would assist with debt consolidation. But what I do is sort of sharing, where I work out in terms of where are you hurting the most, you know, where is your debt most expensive, and then work it from there. So, you know, like I said to you in examples where we come across a lot of these loan sharks and that, you know, and people are being intimidated and that sort of thing, they're paying massive amounts of interest. So focus in terms of, not that they need any more motivation to focus there, but and then it's a case of working hand in hand with a personal banker within the branch, who will work in terms of handling the debt consolidation. So what they would then do is take all the debts and put it into a sort of a more manageable amount, based on what that person can pay every month. And yeah, that's how we would deal with that in terms of consolidation.
In your experience, Steve, do you think someone should just focus on paying off debt completely and not build an emergency fund? Because I always find there's that argument between, do I pay off my debt first or do I build some sort of an emergency fund? How does one balance that?
Yeah, I think in most cases that's exactly what I have done is balanced it. So you actually, you know, once you have an emergency fund, then you can focus more towards debt. But I do think that emergency fund is important in terms of having short-term savings. Debt, yeah, is probably the most critical. There's very little that you can really achieve with somebody that is in debt. Other than income, you know, if somebody's not earning an income, then you really, there's literally nothing you can do. But debt is probably one of the biggest deterrents in terms of achieving what you want to achieve. So yeah, deal with that. But then once you sort of move through and you have enough an emergency fund, that allows them to grow for goals in the future, where they can sort of lock away money. So medium-term savings, so education, buying a house one day. So more investments where you have a term, because people lack discipline. So you're basically protecting people from themselves. So I think the emergency fund becomes very important, because it allows you to start to focus on your medium-term and long-term goals, where you don't have access to the money. Where a client phones me and says, I have a retirement annuity. And I say to them, are you 55 or older? They answer, no. I say, well, then you can't access those funds. So that's why they need the emergency fund. So when they're panicking, they have somewhere to get funds.
I think it's such an important point, Mapalo, because, I mean, how often do we get questions like, it's wrong, Old Mutual, ABSA, or whoever it is that they took the RA through, won't let me have my money. And you've got to say, well, actually, it's legislation. Yeah. You're not allowed. And in some ways, there's part of me that says, that's a good thing, because you're going to take that money, you'll pay off the debt, and I can guarantee you next year you'll be in debt again. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
So that was, you know, your experience with Samke. And I must just summarize for those of you who didn't follow Samke's story last year. By the end of 6 months, Samke had paid off all of her short-term debt. She had built up an emergency fund and had even started a fund towards buying a car. So, I mean, that is what she achieved in 6 months, just by putting a step-by-step process in place. So it is completely, what Stephen's talking about here is completely achievable if you're prepared to do it. But this year, Stephen, you have Nono. And she's a very, very different person and different situation to Samke, with very different needs. So can you perhaps give us a little bit of understanding of Nono's specific needs, what work you've done already with her, and what you have planned for her over the next few months?
Yeah, you know, hers is quite similar from a debt point of view. There's also some debt, a little bit unlike Samke, though, where we were on the phone with TransUnion all the time with all the debt there. But yeah. She has a fair amount of debt, so she's prioritized in terms of settling debt. She's got a revolving loan that she wants to settle, and a car. like I said, with her, one thing I've noticed is that in order to be successful with financial planning, you have to consider the personalities of the person that you're dealing with. And she is highly motivated. So, she's a TV producer. She's got a small business on the side. So she's somebody who is motivated as it is. So that's why the app was quite good in terms of her progress, in terms of her journey, because she, you know, I could give her a very simple task in terms of what she needs to achieve. It's a case of, listen, let's crush that debt as quickly as possible, and let's start putting some money away. She's a person who's going through a lot of changes in her life, so she's got a lot going on. I know, you know, whenever I'm speaking to her, she's hectic at work. She's got a 13-year-old daughter, and being a mom of somebody who's in another province, she's just gotten married in December, and as you know, there's a few other things. But yeah, she's definitely got a lot on the boil. It's just a case of working with the kind of personality that she is, because it's definitely a factor. You know, you've got to match people and then see what works for them specifically. And with her, it's been very effective. And I think we'll probably also see a sort of a transformation, very much like we did with Samka. And in Samka's case, obviously, it was also just in terms of not financially only, it was just in terms of her as a human being.
I know, going back to that, actually, that Samka, I mean, she lost weight, she got off her antidepressants, that it was such a transformation. So it's going to be very interesting to see Nono. But I wanted to tell you that I actually touched base with her earlier this week. And I was so blown away, Stephen, by how excited she is and what a difference she's already seeing, because she only met with you in January, right? So we're now into March. It's been 2 months. And I want to share with you this clip that I recorded of our conversation about what she's actually achieved so far.
It's been 2 months so far with Stephen, and I'm actually in awe of the difference that he's made in such a short space of time. More than anything, he's taught me that it's not about me getting more money. It's how I use the money I already have. For me, that was a light bulb moment. It was like, wow, I didn't know that I can use what I already have to just maximize my financial positioning. So instead of spending more here, for example, I can use that very same money, that very same 300 rand, stretching myself and also at the same time canceling debt. You know, he's taught me how to maximize my money and at the same time how to save and how to think about the future at all times. And that is something that I'm just running with in my daily life, even with my husband, with everything that we do. Every single time we spend, we're always thinking, how is this going to affect the future? Is this going to really matter if I buy sneakers now? Is there a way that I can maximize this 100 rand and make it work for me for the next year, for the next 2 years, for the next 3 years? And I'm loving that, because it's changed how I view my own money, and it's made me more responsible. And yeah, I can't wait to see what the rest of the months will bring. Amazingly, Maya, today I have like 2,000 rand left to pay off on my credit card and I'm done. And I started the year with like 6.5, and I had no clue how I was going to pay off the debt. But just by using the money that I have differently, please understand, I haven't gotten a raise. I just used the money that I was getting every month. I just used it differently. I can't help but smile or laugh when I talk about it.
So Stephen, I absolutely love this clip. Really, it just shows just how excited Nono is. But I think for me, the real message here is that without any extra money at all and just being smarter about her finances, she is much wealthier. And you can really feel the excitement in her voice, couldn't you?
Mapala, that's exactly how I felt, which is why I wanted to share that clip, because it just, this absolute joy and liberation. And Stephen, I mean, do you deal with you know, other clients other than Money Makeover? I mean, do you find that when people start on this journey, when they take responsibility, when they start putting things in action, that it just does massive liberation?
Absolutely. Confidence. Yeah, there's a confidence that comes with it. Samka, when I started with her, she was so uncertain of a lot of things. And, you know, by the end, like I said, a transformation, she was very much more confident. And it is lovely to see as an advisor in terms of reaping the reward. what you're trying to put in. But it's so much about the person that you're working with. I mean, they're the ones that have to make it happen. And in Norno's case, she's got a great attitude. I can, yeah, she's so keen.
She's so keen. And I must just add, Stephen, that you are also her de facto advisor to her family. She shared with me that she is now sharing all her financial knowledge that she gets from you with her family on their family WhatsApp group. And she's actually sending me the WhatsApps. And I wanted to just share again the conversation that she shared with me about her experience with her family, her mom, her dad, her siblings, all joining this journey.
Also able to empower the people who are closest to me, my parents, my siblings, you know? And I think that is the best gift that anyone can possibly give you.
That was such a powerful clip for me, because really it just shows how transformative this journey could be. Not just for the contestants, but for entire families. Imagine the impact it's going to have on the different people she touches on. And I think that, you know what, even with her friends, I think she'll do something similar. She sounds very energetic. And it kind of reminds me, Maya, of what I think we put out on the Money Makeover social media last week on Facebook, that taking care of your finances is a form of self-care. I think a lot of people now are going on about pampering yourself, about, you know, self-care, but taking care of your finances, I think it's one of the biggest forms of self-care that you can ever, ever do. It really just transforms your life.
I love what you've just said, because you know how many people say, I'm spending this because I deserve it. Hey, Stephen, I'm sure you know. I'm spending this because I deserve it, instead of realizing that that's not self-care. Credit card debt is not self-care. Do not deserve credit card debt. You do not deserve short-term loans at 20%. You don't deserve that, I promise.
Absolutely.
And so, Stephen, for a lot of people listening now, I know what they're going to say, because I get them, the tweets afterwards. Where do I find a financial advisor like Stephen who will help me manage my money and not just sell me a product? And I think this has been quite an important part of the Money Makeover journey, is for us to show that financial advice shouldn't just be about selling the RA or selling the life policy. So can I ask you, how do you handle your clients from that perspective? Because obviously the way the system works is remuneration is tied to product often. But how do you, if you were giving advice even to individuals looking for a good financial advisor or financial advisors listening to this?
Yeah. Well, listen, I always think that referrals are a great way to get a financial advisor. I often come across an advisor that's servicing an entire family and then friends of that family and that sort of thing, because there's a trust that's been built. So they know that individual. They know it's somebody that's trustworthy. So, you know, it's, the other aspect is obviously go to institutions, you know, something that's reputable. I'm in Cockstead at the moment, and I'm shocked by the number of people who are taking out funeral benefits through fly-by-night companies and that sort of thing. And it's just consultants that they're dealing with. And to be honest, if they are dealing with advisors, largely unscrupulous. And there's always going to be that conflict of interest when you are giving advice with compensation and commission. But I think for me, it's just, and there's so many people I know who are like that. It's in terms of just dealing with the client, and you know, we can earn a living just doing the right thing. So yeah, it's you know, that's the case. You know, in my experience, the advisors that I've come across within APSA have been you know, of a high standard, because they are regulated. You know, it's important that we, our industry is regulated. And I think that the financial planning industry is becoming more professional, which is a good thing. You know, if you go and see a doctor, it's important that he's qualified and that he knows what he's doing. Very much the same as with a financial advisor. So I can say, listen, you know, where does it hurt? And I address where it hurts and not where it's hurting for me, you know, so. That's very important.
And I suppose because you do have the CFP or your Certified Financial Planning qualifications now, so I suppose that is something to look out for. And I must just say, Mapla, I was chatting to a group of financial advisors this last week about how one deals with advice in terms of phase and all these things. And I promise you, within 5 minutes, I knew who I would refer people to and who I would not refer people to. Mm. It doesn't take long for you to figure that out. If you've just got your radar on and you listen to the conversations and the questions that they will ask you, exactly, that are they asking you questions about you and your journey, or are they telling you about themselves and the products they sell? Like that's probably a good
thing. Yeah.
I think for me, what I can add to that is what we do with this podcast, that we're trying to inform people without sending them anything to see if this is what you should look out for. So I think education also is a huge, huge part of financial advice and consuming, financial education. So I think for me, really, people must listen to this podcast more and follow the mark of a competition.
And on that note, listen to us more. I want to say thank you to Stephen. You've provided some great insights and tips for our listeners about getting their money on track. And good luck with Nono. And of course, to all our listeners, please follow the Money Makeover Challenge, because you will learn so much. I learn every single year something more and more and more. And I can't wait for the next couple of months. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press personal finance pages.